Thank you everybody for coming out. First off, we just want to thank the Dr. Yitzhak Belazan Beis Medrash for sponsoring Rav Tversky and some of the different Rosh Yeshiva that we have, the Rosh Yeshiva series that we have over the course of the year. We are very privileged this Shabbos and this weekend to host Rav Meir Tversky. Rav Tversky is a Rosh Yeshiva at YU, a very sought-out speaker. I would just say that, just to deepen our appreciation, Rav Tversky doesn't travel very frequently to out-of-town locations to speak. So we're particularly appreciative. No further ado, Rav Tversky.
Thank you very much, Rav Shabtai. Just to begin by sharing my impressions from Shabbos, it's really been overwhelming that the warmth of the reception from the community, the enthusiasm for Divrei Torah has all been very, very, very inspiring and very much appreciated, and I thank you all for that. And it's a very special and wonderful community that you have here. I also thank Rabbi Goldberg, Rabbi Shabtai, and all those who provided such exceedingly gracious, if entirely fictional, introductions. The depictions, which have nothing to do with me, were very inspiring. Something to hope to be one day if there's no resemblance whatsoever presently. It would be presumptuous and overly simplistic to try to identify with a Hei HaYadiyah, with a definite article, the spiritual challenge which confronts us. So resisting that temptation of affixing such a label. But nevertheless, I think it can be fairly said that what we're going to discuss is at the very least can rightfully be described as a major or a seminal challenge. What is it that separates, or at any rate should separate us from the Western society and culture which surrounds us? So, of course, differences abound. But the gap between Torah and Western culture, lahavdil, is not just a matter of individual differences, but rather, to borrow a term from the history of science, they operate according to different paradigms. Maybe just to clarify for a moment terminology. Science is constantly advancing and developing. Most advancements and developments happen within the system. There are problems to be solved. There are solutions that are put forth. There are discoveries that are made. But those solutions, those advances, those developments happen within the system. On rare occasions, a new theory or discovery is presented that doesn't represent an advance within the system. Instead, the way it proposes to solve problems is by changing the very axioms of the existing system. So, for instance, the examples that are given when Copernicus suggested the heliocentric view of the world. So that wasn't just another advance, it wasn't just another development, but it clearly was an overhaul, was a rejection of the assumptions and the axioms which had dominated and framed the scientific thought under the Ptolemaic system. And when Einstein suggested a four-dimensional conception of the universe, of physical reality, it wouldn't be accurate to describe that as simply another advance, another development. Clearly, there was, again, an overhaul of the very assumptions and axioms of the worldview. And in the history of science, I think the one who coined the term was Kuhn. So that it's referred to as a paradigm shift. That operating with different sets of assumptions, axioms. Returning to our area of concern, our focus, the difference between the Torah worldview and that of the Western world that and culture and mindset which surrounds us can't be measured in terms of differences. But we need to recognize that we're talking about entirely different paradigms. So let's begin, and again, I have no chidushim to offer this morning. Just reviewing together things that we all know, and on the assumption that it's worthwhile together reviewing these things. So let's explore some of the axiomatic differences in paradigm between Western culture and Lahavdil, between the Torah HaKdosha. Western culture and life is very much Olam Hazeh oriented. It's very much oriented towards this world. And regardless of what polls about religious belief of Americans in particular, or Westerners in general, tell us, Western culture is thoroughly secular and pleasure-driven. I think for most people, the point of working is to amass enough money to be able to go on vacation. And the highlight of the year is the vacation. Their belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't define and frame within the Western mindset. It doesn't define and frame one's life in Olam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, so when the time comes to ensure that we have eternal life. Part of the Western obsession, and to sort of drop the euphemism, that's what it is, part of the Western obsession with the materialistic and physical aspect and dimension of Olam Hazeh is its denial of death. So cemeteries become memorial parks as though that ultimate reality is something that should be associated with a picnic ground. All of this, of course, stands in marked contrast to the Torah's worldview. Olam Hazeh Doma Leprozda B'Shnei HaOlam Hava Haskein Atzmacha B'Prozda Kedei Shetikanes Latraklin. Olam Hazeh is like a corridor, an antechamber before the world to come, and the exhortation, the imperative that we're given in Pirkei Avos is to prepare ourselves while in the antechamber, while in the corridor, so that we'll merit entering the banquet hall. The Torah is unabashedly oriented towards Olam Haba. Now, just to clarify what we mean by that. Every moment of life in Olam Hazeh is so precious as to be invaluable. But not as an opportunity for unredeemed, purposeless pleasure, but as a moment which has potential with nitzias dikka, with eternal implications. To clarify a little bit more, the Torah's olam haba orientation, there's nothing morbid, Rachmana Litzlan, about it. Chazal describe our chiyuv in Torah mitzvos, l'man tisko as yom tzeischa meretz in time kol yamei chayecha b'zman sha'ata osuk b'chayim. We're supposed to be preoccupied with life. We're supposed to cherish life. We're supposed to live life b'simcha. We're supposed to love life. But all of this with and because of our orientation towards Olam Haba. Nor does the Torah's Olam Haba orientation encourage or even intimate asceticism. That's not what we're talking about. On the contrary, we're supposed to live a balanced life. But again, what that balance is and creating that balance has to be done. It has to be calibrated by examining life through a lens of Olam Haba, through an eternal lens, not the transient lens of Olam Hazeh. Logically, if we would sort of close our eyes for a moment at the human reality, so we might expect that since the paradigm differences between the Torah and Western society and culture are so great, that it should be relatively easy to at least identify the two different paths in front of us. The decision might still involve struggle. Yitzur shalodim eschadei shalav b'chol yom. There are different sides to a person. We're pulled in different directions. So the decision might still involve struggle, but if we would close our eyes to the human reality, so we would expect that the stark contrast between the incompatible orientations of Western culture and Torah would at least ensure that the choices before us as to how to live and orient our lives, at least the choices themselves would be very clear and distinct, easily discerned if the implementation and the decision is not so easy. But if we open our eyes and either look in the mirror, I don't need to look any further than that, or if one observes socially, so one sees that we don't necessarily operate or live logically. And herein lies the challenge, a very major challenge, that we want to spend a few minutes thinking about together this morning. All of us live within society. I don't know how many people, if any, live apart from society. Now, clearly, the truth of that statement, to what degree that's true, is going to vary depending upon the community within the spectrum of Torah communities. Baruch Hashem, there's a whole wide, broad spectrum. But kimeduma, that it's true of every, or virtually every Torah community, that to a degree, we live within society. We don't live apart from society. And as such, the question of what effect the Western paradigm has on us is one worth raising, one worth thinking about. Now, Yisrael Kedoshim Hem, Baruch Hashem, we devote time to Talmud Torah, we make sacrifices for Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and unquestionably, we live differently than the world around us, than the society around us. But it would appear that we still need it would still be very beneficial to ask ourselves the following question or questions. Do we simply reject, lock, stock, and barrel, the Olam Hazeh materialistic orientation in favor of the Olam Haba spiritual orientation? Or perhaps we've created a type of kelayim, a type of admixture, a type of mixture between those two perspectives. Do we determine value, meaning, and significance exclusively by the spiritual yardstick of Olam Haba? Or perhaps we also employ the materialistic yardstick of Olam Hazeh? Do we live life entirely as a preparation for Olam Haba? Or do we attempt, as the Yiddish maxim would have it, the tanz of tzvei chasanis, to try to dance simultaneously at two different weddings? Do we try to live life as a preparation for Olam Haba, but without giving up on simultaneously also living for the sake of Olam Hazeh with its comfort, indulgence, pleasure, social prestige, and careerism? Kovas Alvavos has a remarkable comment. He says that love of Olam Hazeh, this world, and love of Olam Haba, the world to come, are like fire and water. Pursuit of the mundane comforts and pleasures of Olam Hazeh and the spiritual delight of Olam Haba can't harmoniously coexist. They can no more harmoniously coexist, says the Chovas HaLevavos, than fire and water can coexist. A word of explanation. The question that we're asking is not if we've consciously created a kelayim, a type of mixture. The question is whether we've unconsciously created such an illicit mixture. Is it possible that imperceptibly to us, unwittingly, we've absorbed enough of the Western paradigm, the Western Olam Hazeh Dikir paradigm, that our view of the Torah's paradigm has become skewed? So the question we're raising is, if our very notions of what Torah life entails have been distorted by our exposure and, to a degree, immersion in Western culture, have we perhaps unintentionally adulterated our notion of what living a life of Torah means? Have our very notions of Avodas Hashem, the scope of Halacha, been colored by Western values? So in order to evaluate, it's really one question, obviously just posed in different ways, but in order to evaluate that crucial question, so let's list some of the antinomies, some of the elements of paradigm difference between Torah and Lahavdil Western society. Some other elements. Pasuk says, Adam la'omal yulad. Man, in its universal sense, not in its specific gender sense, was created to toil, to work hard. Hayom kotzo v'hamalacha meruba hapolim atzelim u'balabayis dochek. We study, hopefully, at least minimally every summer in Pirkei Avos, maybe more often. The day is short. The amount of work to be accomplished is great. The laborers are indolent, and the Baal HaBayis, the boss is urging, is pressing them to move forward. The Torah's paradigm for life involves working hard. In fact, working as hard as one healthily, both mental and physical health, working as hard as one healthily possibly can, relaxing as needed, is a mitzvah. But as needed, and for the sake of returning rejuvenated to Avodas Hashem. By contrast, the Western world covets a life of relaxation and ease. The question we're then asking is, do we sufficiently, that would mean completely, do we really relate to the notion of Adam L'Omel Yulad? Do we really frame our lives that way, that a person was created to work hard, to work as hard as, again, as he or she possibly, healthily can? Or has the Western paradigm adulterated our notions of Avodas Hashem? And we're not even asking at this juncture whether in fact we work as hard as we healthily possibly can in life and Avodas Hashem. We're asking an even more basic question. We're asking of, do we even think of Avodas Hashem? Do we even think of life in such terms? Do we even aspire to living our lives that way? Or perhaps due to cultural influence, perhaps that way of life isn't even on our radar screen. Another corollary of what we've been talking about is the approach to time. Yakrus Hazman, the infinite value of time, is a fundamental concept within Yahadus. It's typified by the fact that we would be Mechal Shabbos to prolong a person's life 1 second. If all the efforts to prolong a person's life on Shabbos would result in prolonging that person's life 1 second, we would engage in all that Chil Shabbos, no, without any reservations whatsoever. The Chofetz Chaim comments on the Torah has a halacha in Parsha Shoftim, that when waging war on Mechamas HaRashus, so there are certain classes of individuals who are given an exemption. And one of those is, Mio Isha Shebona Bayez Chodesh V'lo Chanocho Yelech V'yoshev L'Veso Penyomuz B'Melchama V'Isha Cheh Yach Nachano. Who is the man who has built a new house but hasn't yet made a Chanukah Bayez, hasn't yet moved into the house, hasn't yet had a chance to enjoy the fruit of his labors? So that person is chozer me'orcha hamulchama, that person is exempted from battle, pen yomuz bal mulchama, lest he be killed in the war, and his work, his investment of time, be squandered. What kind of house are we talking about? So, if he would have asked me, I would have said minimally 4 to 5 bedrooms, 2 garages, finished basement. We're obviously talking about a very major, serious investment of time. If the Torah is so particular that it can't be, that the Torah says it's unimaginable, it would be a travesty if all that work, and work represents time, were to be squandered. In fact, says the Chafetz Chaim, when you look in the Gemara says that the dimensions of the house, Dalet Amos on Dalet Amos. So taking the larger or largest estimate of what Dalet Amos is, 8 feet. Maybe only 6 feet. 8 feet square. That's the investment of time that the Torah doesn't allow to be squandered. It can't be. He must have spent an hour and a half building this house of Dal Ramos by Dal Ramos, 8 feet square house. So how can it be that will go to waste? In the Western mindset, we've got plenty of time. I've got time. Right? It's part of our vocabulary. Part of the it's an idiom within the English language. So the question is not: do we live entirely, Rachmana Litzlan, by that Western standard? Of course not. Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, of course not. But the question is, has it detracted from our understanding, from our perception of the Torah's paradigm and the Torah's insistence that every second is so precious and so valuable and such an opportunity to be doing something, to be learning, to be davening, to be doing a chesed, to be doing something. Another aspect where the paradigm difference manifests itself, and this is so far all one long l'shitasa, right? These are all intertwined, interconnected. Leil Shabbos, we had occasion to read the Rambam's formulation of Tzarech Adam L'Chavein Kol Ma'asav Leidas Hashem Baruch Hu Bilvad. That a person, and the Rambam, it's clear from context, is addressing every one of us. He's not addressing some spiritual aristocracy or elite. That a person needs to direct, design, calibrate all his actions to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything a person does, the way a person conducts business, how much business a person conducts, the way a person eats, how much he eats, the way a person sleeps, how much a person sleeps, everything, the entire gamut of human involvement and human action, everything can and should be directed towards, calibrated towards that end goal of coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or in other words, Avodas Hashem, I guess in more secular jargon we would say religion, is something which is all-encompassing. The question that we keep asking and re-asking in different form now translates as, do we think of Avodas Hashem in those terms? Or have our notions somewhat been westernized? And we think of Avodas Hashem as an element or component within our lives. Do we think of Talmud Torah as, I went to the daf this morning, and it's wonderful and inspiring how many people do. I went to the daf this morning, or I'm gonna go to the rabbi's shiur tonight. So I learned today. What do we think of it in terms of, can I find, maybe even steal another 5 minutes for Talmud Torah? Do we sort of compartmentalize and say that our religious commitment certainly has to translate, it certainly has to, time has to be devoted to it, or do we think of it as something which is all-encompassing? do we think of it as a 24/7 commitment? Because of the Western preoccupation with and orientation towards Olam Hazeh, so it has sort of redefined religion. Avodas Hashem is a part-time job. The Torah clearly thinks of it. V'chol ma'asacha yu l'shem shamayim. Everything a person does should be, again, calibrated towards initially, and then in its implementation, directed l'shem shamayim for the sake of heaven. The Torah clearly thinks of Avodas Hashem as a full-time job, not as a part-time job. Have our hasogas, have our notions, our aspirations, our goals, even on that level, have they been adulterated, again, unconsciously, because of our living within and exposure to Western culture and its mindset, its assumptions and its axioms? Perhaps to mention a few other areas of incompatibility, paradigmatic incompatibility, and the what would appear to be fruitful questions for reflection and introspection. The Western world idolizes the scientific worldview. Part of that scientific worldview, which is not in any way justified by modern science, but which is a legacy of a couple of hundred years ago, is a very, very strong anti-religious bias. When religion science issues surface, and they'll always surface because scientific knowledge is imperfect and is always going to be somewhat off the mark, so those issues are always going to be there until Umola Oretz Deyas Hashem Kemaim Leyon Lechasim, until the realization of that prophecy that knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill the earth the way the waters fill the ocean. So when those questions are raised, so do we automatically assume a defensive posture as though the Torah, the burden to respond, is that the Torah has to respond to whatever today's scientific challenge happens to be? And again, just to explain, I'm standing here with my cell phone in my pocket. This is not in any way debunking, invalidating, in any way denying the real accomplishments and of science. We live in such a technologically revolutionized world, it would be ludicrous to do so. But all of that notwithstanding, whatever science has accomplished, it's constantly undergoing its own secular paradigm shifts. And the question is, to what extent, when we hear a question, and the question may be a legitimate question, it may be a question that's fruitful to think about and fruitful to reflect upon, and for those who are qualified to address, but what's the starting point when we hear the question? And to what extent is our starting point influenced or affected by the Western paradigm which not only respects science as we do, as the Torah does, but idolizes science as we don't. Western culture not only has its practical orientation, it also has its philosophical, ideological axioms. Philosophically, Western culture is relativistic. Western culture is relativistic for two reasons. Number one, that's the sort of natural framework to operate in within a democratic society. And number two, because of all the unspeakable and indescribable atrocities that have been and continue to be perpetrated in the name of absolute truth, so because of that, the Western world shies away from the notion of absolute truth and absolute morality. The fact that a truth can be distorted, the fact that someone can be an imposter and claim to represent absolute truth when in fact he or she doesn't, in no way is a reflection on the absolute truth. And in no way does that impugn absolute truth. Right? It's obvious that the Torah's paradigm is that we believe in absolute truth and we believe in absolute morality, which is not to say that on some issues there isn't a legitimate room for diversity of opinion, which is not to say that in some issues the elu va'elu is not applicable. It surely is, but all those areas notwithstanding, there are many areas which are black and white. There are gray areas where there is legitimate, very beautiful diversity. And then beyond those gray areas, there are many areas that are black and white. There are many areas which are explicit psukim in the Torah, explicit dinim in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in Shulchan Aruch, which represent absolute truth. Absolute truth revealed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. Another area in which to reflect on, again, not chas v'shalom, have we abandoned the Torah's paradigm, but has our perception and our understanding of the Torah's paradigm been affected? Has there so much static and so much haze in the air that we're not able to perceive things as clearly and as unequivocally as we should? The Western world has no use for, or even tolerance, for the notion of Ama Nivcha, of a chosen people. There are not too many concepts more basic and more integral to Torah and to Yahadus than the notion of an Ama Nivcha. Again, now is not the time to delve into each of these topics, absolute truth, Ama Nivcha. I don't have any wisdom, Alachas Kama Kama, the wisdom of Hillel, to teach Kala Torah Kula al Regalachas. So the point is more to identify what, again, unequivocally are elements of the Torah's paradigm, so that we can reflect individually, collectively, on whether or not our understanding of, and therefore implementation of that paradigm has been interfered with, has been to a degree affected by the antithetical, incompatible Western paradigm. Western society, and again, we're talking about in the modern era, in our era, how much of this what was true in previous eras is an interesting historical question, but it doesn't really affect our challenges and what we would benefit from thinking about and reflecting on. Western society is egalitarian to an irrational degree. Even jobs with human lives and safety are compromised by egalitarianism. So Western society is 1,000% egalitarian. And obviously the Torah isn't. Obviously, whatever commonality there is between the Avodas Hashem of men and women, there are obviously differences which are clear and unambiguous and unequivocal. And again, it's another one of the paradigm differences between Torah and the Western world. Another area for thought. So I don't want to be ma'arich excessively. It could be that you're correctly thinking the time for that thought to occur to him was 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, but better late than never. I don't want to be ma'arich excessively, but the point is a simple but central one. Have our musogim, have our concepts of Yahadus, has our understanding of Yahadus been affected to a degree, adulterated to a degree, by the Western paradigm to which, again, all of us, or virtually all of us, are exposed to? To the Western world in which all of us, or virtually all of us, live. And before we can even question how to improve implementation, we need to first assess and reassess on this level of setting goals, of understanding what the goals are, what the goals should be, what the aspirations should be. And then we can look strategically to see how Be'ezus Hashem to reach and attain those goals. But it begins B'siyata D'shmaya with looking at what the Torah paradigm is versus what our conception under Western societal influence, what our perception of that paradigm is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a haftacha, a guarantee. We all look for guarantees. Ha'aboli Tahir Messiah also. If one comes sincerely looking to purify oneself, looking to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Messiah also, there's a helping hand which is extended, so that it's a mistake to say that the task seems too tall, and it seems unrealistic. Because when we think in those terms, we're not taking into account that haftocha, that guarantee of Haboli Taher Messiah. So, see, after the Shmaya, we should try to think, reflect upon some of these questions, and we should do it with the sincerity that Baruch Hashem we all have, and enjoy the haftacha, the materialization of that haftacha of Messiah also, and should be successful in that reflection and introspection. Thank you.